1 Kings 17 verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went instead by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." In our introduction, in our little series on the life and times of Elijah, we have been introducing this man and his ministry. And he's not just an interesting man, he had a very important ministry. When we noted the character of the man, we noted that there was mystery surrounding his background. We know he's simply a Tishbite from the land of Gilead, but he was very zealous for the Lord of hosts. We noted the condition of the land, because at that time the people of God were in a terrible state. There was moral declension and apostasy, idolatry and superstition, and the worship of Baal had replaced the worship of the true God in Israel. And not only had God's people departed from their God, they were also defiant in his sight. We noted the conviction of the message that Elijah brought, because he genuinely believed in the message that God had entrusted into his care. We noted where he brought it. He went to the man who had brought the judgment of God upon his people, a man called Ahab, and he went into his courts and he told him there would be no rain. He spoke to the root of the problem, because Ahab had turned away the hearts of God's people from God. When it comes to you and I and the message entrusted to our care, we need to have a clear conviction about what the gospel is, what we do with it. We need to take it to the people who need it the most, and we need to share it in a way that's relevant for them. We noted why he brought it. He spoke with conviction because he was deeply concerned about God's honor and God's glory. And we noted how he brought it. With conviction, with courage. He not only believed that God was alive, he believed that God was with him. Today, as we come to these verses again in 1 Kings 17, I want us to note Elijah at the brook Cherith. Having spoken to Ahab and delivered his message of judgment, God began to work in the heart of his servant Elijah. And before God is going to work with Ahab and do something in his life and in the lives of the people who had departed from him, God begins to work in the life of his servant Elijah. He takes him away to the brook Cherith to be further trained, to be strengthened in his faith, and to be prepared for his future ministry. And I believe that there are lessons today that are good for all of us, whatever stage of our spiritual journey, and especially if it is that we are seeking the mind and the will of God at this time in our individual lives. I want you to note here, first of all, the directions employed. Look at verses 2 and 3. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan.'" Now God speaks to Elijah again, having delivered the message of judgment to Ahab, and God begins to put his stamp or his seal of approval on Elijah's life, and God now begins to guide this man to the next phase or the next stage of his ministry for God. And as God gave him these directions, I want you to note here, the directions are clear and concise. God says to him, "Get away from here, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now, God gave to Elijah directions that could not be mistaken. He was to leave the place where he was at that time. He was to go eastward, not only towards the Jordan, but he was actually to go to the brook Cherith. God did not leave Elijah in the dark concerning his life and his ministry. The directions that God gave to him were clear, they were concise, they were easy to follow, and this was a reminder to Elijah that God was in control of this man's life. It was a further reminder that God was not only with him, but God was going before him, and God was leading him to the place where God wanted him to be. Now, there's no doubt that there would be difficult times ahead for Elijah. We'll see in these studies that there were times when his life would be in danger. There would be times when he would feel overwhelmed by the nature of his ministry that God had called him to do. So this was a timely reminder for him that God knew the way he was taking. That God was in control of every step he would take. God was leading him, and therefore there was absolutely nothing for Elijah to fear. In other words, all Elijah had to do was to take God at his word and then to step out in faith. Beloved, that's easier said than done. Because the guidance of God is something that many of us struggle with. It's sometimes difficult for us to discern what God is doing in our lives. When doors begin to shut and other doors begin to open, when we find this unsettling within our own hearts and lives, when we begin to seek the mind of God and to ask Him what it is that He wants to do with our lives and where it is He wants to do it, it is sometimes difficult for us to know what God wants us to do and when He wants us to do it. We've all been in those situations. Maybe you're there today. And you've been looking to God and you've been praying for His guidance, and somehow it has either been slow of coming or else you're a bit confused by the way that God is dealing in your situation right now. I love the words that Francis Dixon uses in his little book called Elijah's God and Mine. He says this: guidance does not come by striving. It comes by hearing the voice of God. It comes by hearing the voice of God. And Elijah heard the voice of God. And God gave him clear directions. They were concise. And Elijah knew that he must follow them. It may not be helpful for you, but in my own life and seeking the mind and the will of God, I've always kept four things before me. Those inner convictions. That's how I feel. That's what I'm thinking. I assess it quietly, carefully, and prayerfully to see what the Spirit of God is saying to me at that time in my life. Inner convictions. There are outward circumstances. Those are the things that happen around us in our life, in our family life at that particular time. And again, we look to see what God is saying to us. And then there's the wise counsel of tried and trusted friends. People who are spiritual, people who are genuinely interested in our spiritual welfare, who want the best for us, who understand that the best for us is God's best in our lives, and we trust their participation with us in seeking the mind of God. But you know, with all of those things in mind, there is something else that is absolutely essential, and that is the confirmation of God's Word. If there is no confirmation from the Word of God, we are in no position to do anything. Moses said during his own ministry, if your presence does not go with us, then do not take us up hence. Unless you're in it, Lord, unless you're guiding, unless you're directing, then do not take us somewhere where you're not going to be amongst us. Without the leading of God, without God's seal of approval, through His word of truth, we should never start out. But you know, I found when these four things come together, and when God confirms His leading through His word, you're on safe ground. And you're ready to launch out in faith. As far as Elijah was concerned, the directions are clear and concise. The directions were calculated and confirming. Get away from here, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Now God knew what He was doing in Elijah's life, where He was leading. And He confirms all of this to His servant. Nothing was left to chance as far as God and Elijah was concerned. Why Cherith? Why towards the Jordan? Well, commentators are divided on all of this, but it might be that it was a Jordan that God had shown Himself in the past to be strong in Joshua's day. Remember at Jordan, the waters rolled back, the people had passed through safely, and God spoke to His people in this, and He said to them, look, I'm in control, and I control everything. So if Elijah needed to be reminded that everything was under God's control, then this was the confirmation that he needed. But you know, the brook Cherith that God directed him to was a very safe place. Away from Ahab, away from his apostate people. It was a place of quietness and solitude where Elijah could get alone in the presence of God. The place where God would prepare His servant for His future triumph on Mount Carmel. Beloved, God makes no mistakes. Elijah would be where God wanted him to be. It's interesting, and I'll mention this just in passing. You think about it. There's a sermon in it sometime, but you think about it. In the Scriptures, God dealt with other servants of God in places of great solitude. Joseph, in the prison, preparing him for a great task to deliver his people. Moses, 40 years in Midian, and God raised him up to make him the leader he needed to be. David, in the wilderness, a shepherd boy, God trained him and prepared him. The list is endless. Beloved, listen today, there are no mistakes with God and His will for our lives. God knows what He's doing today. God knows what He wants us to be. God knows the way that we take. And if we are in the place where God wants us to be, that will always be the best place to be. It might not be without difficulty. It might not be without its discouragements, but even difficulties and discouragements can be used of God to develop our Christian character, to make us the people God wants us to be. You see, sometimes when difficulties come or discouragements come, the devil would tell us, you're not in the right place, you're not doing the right thing, God's not in control anymore. We need to be careful about that. There are multitudes of Christians today who, because of discouragement and disappointment, they have jumped ship and they have done this, that, or the other thing, and it has never worked out for them or their children or for anybody else. We need to be in the place where God wants us to be. Horatius Bonner's words are helpful. Thy way not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. Lead me by thine own hand. Choose thou the path for me. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might. Choose thou for me, O God, so shall I walk aright. Not mine the choice in things or great or small. Be thou my guide, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. As far as Elijah was concerned, we see the directions employed. Get away from here. Turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Here's the second thing. The devotion expressed. Look at verse 4. I love these words. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And not only was God directing Elijah to the place where God wanted him to be, this was a reminder to Elijah that God would take care of him when he would get there. God would take care of him. God would provide for him. God would overrule concerning him. And Elijah had to learn. You have to be prepared to trust God one step at a time. Because if you do so, it will be a means of strengthening your faith. It will be a means of you continuing to understand the will of God for your life. Look at two simple things here for a moment in this verse. Look at the place. God sent Elijah to Cherith. And it was there that God promised to provide for him. Now, it might have seemed to Elijah this was the wrong place. Cherith was just a brook. It was a little stream. And remember that this is the man who had gone right to the heart of the problem. He stands beside Ahab and he says, Ahab, there will be no more rain here until I say so. Until God directs me to come back and tell you the drought is over and the rains are coming, there's going to be no more rain. And then God says to him, now Elijah, you get up and go to the little brook Cherith. And you just stay there until I tell you otherwise. Why on earth would God lead him to such a place if a drought was coming? This brook was not a river. It was a tributary of the river Jordan. It flowed during the rainy season. It dried up when there was no rain. And Joshua has just said to Ahab, there will be no rain. But you see, for Elijah, this would be the place where he'd see God miraculously provide for his needs at a very difficult time. This was a place he'd learn important lessons. This was a place where his faith would be put to the test. A place where his faith would grow. A place where he'd learn to trust God. A place where he would see God at work. And he'd learn lessons to equip him for future ministry. Beloved, this was necessary for Elijah, and sometimes it's necessary for us too. Because if our faith is not tested from time to time, we'll never know just how strong our faith is. If God doesn't test our faith from time to time, we'll just move along in life, carelessly, unconcerned about very much. Sometimes God has to step in. And as the eagle stirs her nest and tips the young out that they learn to fly, sometimes God has to do the same with us. To see if our faith is real, first of all, and to see if our faith is strong. The one thing that Elijah needed to know was he was in the place where God wanted him to be. That's important for all of us. But can I say this to the young folk of our church? We should thank God for them. And this is not a criticism, this is an encouragement. Can I say to you as young people, starting out with God, you're soon doing exams, planning for your future. Some of you are considering university. Some of you are praying and asking God to show you where He wants you to be. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. And let God lead you to the place where He wants you to be. Do you realize today that you might be a candidate for ministry? Do you realize today that you sitting here in this church today may well be a missionary in the making? Do you realize that you have so much potential that God can use for His glory? And I'd urge you to get to that place in your life where you will turn around as a young person and ask the same question that Paul did after his conversion to Christ. He says, Lord, what will you have me to do? Just the other night I was at an induction service. I've done a number of missions up in Coke over the years. I was up to see a young man being inducted to start his ministry this morning. But every time I've gone back, there are a group of young people, young girls who have been growing up through the church, and I've known them since they were little children. They came across and sat down beside me at supper on Friday night, and I said to one of them, you must be near 12 now. She says, I'm doing my GCSEs. So you're always careful when you speak to a woman, always go low and let them bring it up. I said, you're not that age. She says, I am. I said, have you picked your subjects? Oh, she says, I have. She says, I just prayed over it and asked God to show me, and I picked the subjects that I feel God can use in my life for years to come. I thought that was remarkable for a 14, 15-year-old girl. But that's the time to do it, young people. Don't let others deter you from making yourself available. And don't let others dampen your enthusiasm. If you as an individual are walking with God and seeking the mind of God and you want to do the will of God, keep your eyes on Him and God will show you in His own time and in His own way, and He'll take you to His own place. The place, Cherith, the provision. God says to Elijah, it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Elijah stayed by the brook. He drank from it. Every morning, every evening, the ravens came, brought him food. And that's not just strange, that's miraculous. You just for a moment stand in Elijah's shoes. You've just stood in the presence of Ahab and put your life under threat, and you've said, Ahab, listen, you have led God's people astray and God's going to judge you and there's going to be a drought. He walks away and God says, now go you in the midst of this drought. Go you right to Cherith and you stay there eastward. Head towards the Jordan. You stay at Cherith. You drink from the water there, and every day I'm going to send you ravens to feed you. Now, if that had been me, I'd have been standing saying, I'm sure you will, Lord. But every morning, every evening, God sent the ravens. God had directed him to a place of solitude. He's all alone beside a little stream. He knows he's there in the will of God. God knows his need. And every single day, even if the brook wasn't running as much as it was the day before, even if it seemed that the ravens might have been a little bit late, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Leviticus 11:15, the Israelites looked upon these ravens as being unclean. And God used them to bring food to his weary servant. Didn't God do the same for Israel of old? When they found themselves wandering in the wilderness because of disobedience? Didn't God provide manna in the morning, quail in the evening, for a vast multitude of people for all the years of their wanderings, their shoes never wore out? What a faithful God have I! Faithful in every way. Beloved, what a God we serve this morning. What a God we worship. This is the God who controls all things by the word of his power. This is the God who calls his servants, who equips his servants, who provides for his servants. And he does so continually and he does so faithfully, and he even uses means that we could never, ever imagine. If I had time this morning, I'd go back over all the years and I'd tell you about the ravens that God brought into my life. And there are folks here who have been in the work of the ministry for far longer than me, and they could stand up and talk about the ravens that God brought into their lives too. Listen, what a faithful God we have today. As far as Elijah was concerned, the directions employed, get away from here, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The devotion expressed, it will be that you shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Thirdly, the difficulties experienced. Look at verse 7. It's a lovely story when you read it at the beginning. And you see the boldness of this man and his conviction, and he follows God's direction. He goes to Cherith, and there he is at Cherith, and in a miraculous way, God provides for him. And then it says this, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, Elijah knew that, didn't he? He had gone and he had stood and he had said that a drought was coming. And now, having experienced God's wonderful and miraculous provision, it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Each day Elijah would see the brook was drying up. Each day when he would go to the little brook to lap up the water in his hand, the trickle of water was getting less and less. Maybe there were days when he wondered how long it was going to last. But there's a man in the center of God's will, and he's now finding the going tough. Can I mention two things? Two simple things, but two important lessons about this. For all our good. First of all, Elijah had to learn to depend on the giver, not the gifts. The brook dried up. There's no more water. But God had sent him there. And it was important for Elijah that he didn't panic. He kept trusting, that he didn't move until God told him to do so. If God could make a miraculous provision through the ravens, he had the means and the ability and the power to provide for Elijah in whatever way he chose. And Elijah must keep his eyes on God. Trust him for his provision, because the one who had called him and the one who had sent him was well able to provide for him. Elijah had to learn to depend on the giver, not the gifts. And the second thing is that Elijah had to realize that even God's people are not immune to suffering. Not immune to suffering. He was in the place where God wanted him to be, but it was difficult. He had taken God at his word, obeyed his every command, and now the going's still tough. Beloved, being in the center of God's will doesn't mean everything will always be easy for us. I think some of us would like it to be like that, but I think we'd miss out on important lessons regarding our walk with God if it was. You come and ask me some morning when I'm in the midst of it and the going's tough, I'll tell you I wish I wasn't there. But when the lesson's learned and you've moved on and got over it, it's a lesson worth remembering. And I'm sure that Elijah must have searched his soul. He must have looked at the dry brook. He must have wondered why God had brought him there in the first place. Had he made a mistake following God's directions? Had he made a mistake, that is, God, in sending his servant to Cherith? No. There are no mistakes with God. As for God, his ways are perfect. Beloved, Elijah was in the place of adversity, but this was God's opportunity to teach him his utter dependence upon God. Maybe today, You're going through your own Cherith experience. Maybe you're in the place of adversity and the going's tough. And every day it's getting tougher. Maybe you're struggling with your life financially in days of great difficulty and the brook has almost dried up. And you're wondering if you're in the place where God wants you to be. You're wondering if God knows what He's doing. You're wondering if God is still in control. You're thinking of taking matters into your own hands. You're questioning God's wisdom in your life at this time. Now, I don't know what you're going through today, any more than you know what I'm going through. But I do know this. We need to keep our eyes on God, because He knows every detail that concerns us. We need to keep trusting in Him and allow Him to order all our ways. And we need to ask God to strengthen our faith. God has never failed us before. God's not going to fail you now. You say, Pastor, I'd love to believe that. Pastor, I want to believe that, but I'm in the midst of a situation now that I never thought I'd be in, and I don't know how to get out of it. Well, God knows. And our time of adversity is another opportunity for God to reveal Himself to us and teach us something about Himself. We sometimes sing the words, He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand, He leadeth me. Elijah at the brook Cherith. God led him there. God proved His faithfulness to him there. And wherever we are today, God will do the same to us if only we learned